Hey everybody, on this episode of Sampa Chats Boxing, we are finally here. Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, who do we got? Gotta listen to the show. Also, we're going to take a look at the undercard a little bit. Not too much. It isn't the greatest of undercards. Greensbury Matchroom, 5-on-5. That's being announced. We're ready for June 1st. That looks like an exciting card as well. Cool. Some surprises there. Also, Jared Anderson, lackluster showing. Unfortunately, didn't have the greatest guy working with him. 144 shots throughout the whole match. Guys, all this, so much more on this episode of Sap and Chats Box. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Sampa Chan's Boxing. Yeah, it's just me and Chance today. But guess what, guys? We are here. It is 2 days away from Garcia and Haney. Before any of that, Mr. Michaels, how's the week been and how are you on this Friday Eve?
I'm doing really good. How about yourself?
Can't complain, man. I love it. We're gearing up now. I think most guys in all combat sports realize you don't really mess with WrestleMania, so there wasn't really much going on throughout that time.
Smart.
You know, it is hard, right? I mean, it is what it is, but here we are. We're gearing up April from here on in until probably July.
Now we're really cooking now.
Now we're really, really cooking. That being said, man, why don't we get right to it and get into this Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia fiasco that's finally going to unfold. Yeah, I called it a fiasco.
It is.
This Saturday at they're in New York, right? At the
Barclays Center.
Barclays Center. All right, this round is started. Here we go. What do you think?
Well, there's so many things to say here. We do a real. This is what I love about this show. It's fast paced, fast takes, get in, get out. Okay, here we go. It's not sold out yet. They're both complaining about the ticket sales. We don't know. Devin Haney is not a big draw. Garcia is a big draw. Now, we don't know if people aren't buying the tickets. One, they're $500 to $300 upper deck. That's quite a bit. That's too much for this fight. There's a problem there. Bottom bowl is $800. That's a lot of money for this fight. Number two, Devin Haney is not a big draw. And maybe some people don't want to buy the fight or go to the fight because of what Garcia has been saying. He said some crazy, crazy, far out stuff. I can't even repeat it on the show because kids might be listening to it. That's how far out he's been.
Yeah.
Talk about the fight itself. I don't know if I can trust Garcia. I don't know what he's going to do. Right now, the odds makers has Devin Haney 88.9% chance to win the fight. He's an 8-to-1 favorite. If you like Garcia to win, he's plus 550. 100 bucks pays you 550 bucks. I want Garcia to win. I'm cheering for him. I don't condone what he said. That's all. I don't, you know, I just something about Haney that rubs me the wrong way. He's kind of a boring fighter. I hope Garcia gets in there, wins, and takes it. I can't trust the guys. I just cannot trust these guys. I got Haney by decision, but I'm pulling for Garcia. I hope it's a good fight. Your take?
Okay, I'm going the opposite way completely. I'm going completely Haney against Garcia. Now, the one thing I'm going to say is, A, the pay-per-view is very expensive. That's the thing.
$69, yeah.
$69, but if you're signing up to DAZN or whatever like that, it depends on what platform you're watching. Yeah. Depending on what platform you're watching, we're going $69 all the way up to $89, $20 in the UK. I don't know if that's £20 or if it's $20 Canadian or US Canadian. If it's £20, it's still cheaper because it'll be $40, right? But then again, they're getting it at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so here's my takeaway very quickly. I only have a minute to work all this in. Is Garcia playing everybody by acting the way he's acting? And
no, he's that out. He's that gone.
I don't know, but I have to take that into account. Is this like a part of his strategy? Is he doing all this stupid stuff? The other issue I have with Ryan is using his faith too much to sell this fight, which I think is wrong because he's going against everything that his faith teaches him. That's just my take.
Well, 1 minute he's acting like I love Jesus. The next minute he's talking like he's a devil. He's all over the map.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what the problem is. Now he's proposed to an Australian porn star. So what God that he believes in condones all of that? I'm just throwing that out there. Now, as far as the fight goes, I think a lot of people are bored by this fight because they already think Haney's going to win, right? I mean, there's no speculation there. The Haney's going to fight the way he's going to fight because Ryan still has that left hand.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you look at both these guys, one's an internet star, the other guy's a boxing guy. If you, Haney has had the harder fights overall. Right?
There's a reason why Haney's a massive favorite here. The thing with Garcia, he could get in there, lose his temper, do something stupid in the ring, and the fight could be over in the second round. We don't know what you're getting. He's like Teofimo. You don't know what they're going to get. They're amazingly talented guys, but sometimes their head's not on right and they do stupid stuff. So I don't know. Right.
So, I mean, again, we're over the time here, but I will agree with you. I think it is going to be Haney via decision only because he still has respect for that left hand. I don't think he has any respect for Garcia, but he has respect for that left hand. And I think that's the way this fight's going to be played out. I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at the level of competition that both these guys have faced, Haney by far has fought the harder guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Right. Haney, in my opinion, is the better boxer than Ryan Garcia is. Like, take nothing away. I mean, if you think this is the rubber match. I mean, they're both 3-3 in the amateurs when they fought each other there. So I'm not saying Garcia is a bad talent.
They know each other well. Yeah. That could change a fight. So we'll see.
I think Garcia is just so focused on all the nonsense. And if you look at anything, like, I mean, yeah, he trains in his little grade gym, but most of his workouts and everything are in his living room. Right? So
out of control.
So let's see what happens, man. I mean, this is going to be an interesting fight. Undercard isn't that great, but the co-main event is an interesting one. I thought we'd talk about that a little bit. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. It's a good one.
All right. So we got Arnold Barboza Jr. against Sean McComb. Now, here's the thing. I'll start this one off myself, if you don't mind. When I went to search for Sean McComb, he didn't even come up in my Google search. That's, you know, how weird this fight is. But Sean McComb's coming off 7 straight victories here. He's done pretty well. He beat up his last component in December, you know, quite handily. Southpaw boxer. But here's the thing, Barboza, I think he's one of the underrated guys in the 140 division. The WBO Intercontinental title is on the line here for this fight. Barboza, I don't think people give him enough credit for his ring IQ, his footwork, and his ability to gauge everything that's in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think Barboza takes this victory easily. Well, not easily, but I mean, I think it's ring IQ and everything else is going to come into play here. The thing he has to be cautious for is this guy coming over from Ireland, first international fight on the big stage. He has nothing to lose.
No.
Nothing to lose, and he can take punches. I had to go back and research Sean McComb. I'll be honest, man. I like to think I know who's who in boxing. I didn't know much about this kid. I went back. He's gritty. He's hard-hitting. And he's not afraid to get in front of punches. So that could be something that throws off Barboza. But Barboza, because of who he is, in my opinion, I think he still takes this fight. Ref stoppage, I'm going to go 9 to 10 rounds.
Yeah, Arnold Barboza is a heavy favorite in this fight. He's 11 to 1. He's even more of a favorite than Devin Haney. They're not giving Sean McComb any respect. He's plus 650, so I get it. The thing is, Arnold Barboza doesn't have to take this fight. I don't even know why he's taking this fight. I guess to get his name out there because Ryan Garcia is a favorite king. He's already the mandatory challenger for Teofimo Lopez. He could have just waited to fight Teofimo. Whoever wins this fight will be fighting Teofimo Lopez next. I mean, McComb's got some good footwork, but I mean, he's overmatched here. This is a tune-up fight for Barboza. I don't know why he's doing the fight. You're already Teofimo's mandatory. Why risk this? Why give Sean McComb a chance to knock you down, an unknown guy who nobody knows about, take you down, knock you out, and then all of a sudden he's fighting for Teofimo's belts. But he's 11 to 1 favorite for a reason. He's never lost. He's 29-0. Barboza is going to win this. He's a tough Irishman, McComb. I don't know. I think I'm going to go decision Barboza, but it should be easy work for him. It should be like a sparring session, but who knows? This kid got nothing to lose, like you said. Looking forward to it. It's a good co-main event, but Arnold Barboza, this is his chance to elevate himself and get more recognition on a big pay-per-view. So Barboza, decision.
I think he's taking this fight so he can cement that fight against Teofimo. Here's the problem. You can be a number one contender in any division, but never get a sniff for a title, a.k.a. Cody Crowley. I hate to bring up the name like that, but that's just the reality of it, right?
Yep.
And this guy's been sitting as a number one contender for how many years now? And he can't get a sniff of the title.
Exactly.
So, I mean...
Well, it's good for Arnold for taking the fight in the sense that he'll get noticed on this card.
I think Arnold is taking this fight, to prove a point, and to solidify that chance. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, we could very, very easily be looking at George Kambosos, Teofimo. No one thought that Kambosos was going to win. And he shook up that whole.
And on that fight, Kambosos is a 12-1 underdog, even more of an underdog than Sean McColman. So yeah, anything can happen. Unlikely, but should be a good co-main event.
There we go. There we go. All right, man. Queensbury announced their top five against five. This is a card that's going to be in Saudi Arabia, June the 1st. It's going to be highlighted by Beterbiev versus Bivol. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that and then that card as well, man. It's an exciting, I like the card. I really am excited for it. You ready? Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Ding, ding. Let's go. What are your thoughts on this card?
Stacked. We say Vegas is the fight capital. Not anymore. I hate to say that. I love going to Vegas for fights. Nothing like a big fight in Vegas. The casinos, the atmosphere. You've been there many times. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
But now it's in Saudi Arabia. So all the fights that we would be seeing in Vegas, we can't see them anymore. And you know what? Good for the Prince. Good for him for doing that, man. He's got the money. He's making it happen. He's putting on better fights than Golden Boy, Top Rank, PBC, you name it. He's got the money to do it. Well, so he's doing it. We're not doing 100%. It. I'm looking forward to that Zangris-Wilder fight. Wilder wants, you know, he's got to come back and he's got to finish this guy. Somebody's going down on that fight. That fight lasts more than six rounds.
Yeah.
Super excited for that fight.
Well,
this is a loaded card, man. This is the best card since Day of Reckoning.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. I don't think we need to go through every matchup, but you pick. That's the one that stands out to you. Is the one that you're looking for.
Oh, yeah, two big boys banging. Yeah, what about you?
For me, okay, I'm looking forward to that fight as well because, I mean, that fight between Zhang and Deontay, you know, Big Bang against Bomb Squad, that should be interesting.
Scary.
Same age, kind of same values. I think Deontay's faster. I think Deontay takes it, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
All right, but for me, the fight that I'm looking forward to here, a lot of people may not be, is the Raymond Ford versus Nick Ball fight.
Right? Yeah, that'd be good too.
Watching Nick Ball fight on that last card of Day of Reckoning, the guy got cheated. What a beast that kid is from Liverpool.
He's going to be hungry to win. Vargas is in big trouble here.
Well, no, Ray Ford.
Ray Ford, sorry, yeah, Ray Ford. Yeah. He's and in Ray big Ford, trouble here.
You know, and he's looking great too. And I love this combination. It's not all English guys or you know, Arab guys. You got guys coming in from America for this one as well, right? So, I mean, for me, that's the card that I'm kind of looking forward to. I'm very interested in. I'm surprised on the Daniel Dubois versus Philip Hrgowicz because I thought, in my opinion, after Tyson and that fight happens, you know, that IBF title is going to go up in the air. And I thought Joshua and him were going to fight for that title in July. Maybe they still will. We don't know. Maybe it'll be in August. I mean, you know, but that, you know, yeah. I mean, that goes into the whole conversation I want to have about the heavyweight division in the next round. But overall, man, I'm excited for this fight and having Beterbiev and Bivol. Now, Bivol took a lot of Beterbiev took a lot of criticism at that press conference for being boring and not selling the fight.
But he is. That's what he is, though.
But that's who he is.
Not in the ring, he's not. But out of the ring,
no. I'm excited for that fight. I really feel that.
I'm glad you brought that up. So His Excellency knows that Bivol's not Beterbiev is not an exciting guy to talk. He's just a quiet guy in the ring. He's nasty. So what do? You stack this card. This card is stacked. You bring out the big dogs, Zhang, Wilder, Ford, Ball, all these guys. You create a rivalry. This is an amazing card. I'm so excited for it. Top to bottom. Bivol versus Beterbiev. Oh, man. This is great. Zhang, this is Wilder's last chance. Is he shot? We don't know. If he doesn't win this fight, his career is over. Well, somebody's going down. And I love to see the big heavyweights bang. You don't see that that often. So once all two guys just want to knock each other out, can't wait.
No, I think it's going to be exciting through and through. I can't wait. I cannot.
He's the best matchmaker in boxing right now, is Excellency. It's not even close. He's got the money to do it. Well, it's too bad he's doing it. Nobody else is.
All right, so here, I'm going to throw an audible. I haven't had the chance to tell you about this, but I just had an idea. Why don't we talk about Saudi in general? I have a lot to say that, you know, I'd love to hear your piece on there. Whenever you're ready, man, let's get this one going. Yeah, all right, so we see what His Excellency is doing. You know, Turkish.
I love that name, by the way, His Excellency. What a name. It's that right? Great name.
No, it's cool. It's perfect because he's doing everything we want. Now, do you feel that the North American promotions are missing out on this because they're looking like shit right now, in my opinion? Like, take nothing away from Top Rank. If I look at the American promotions that are there, Top Rank's number one.
Oh, yeah.
With Golden Boy being number two, in my opinion. And
Golden Boy's coming up now.
And Showtime being at the bottom there. But here's the thing. What will it take for these three promotions to finally go on board with what Queensbury and Matchroom are doing? because they're elevated, man. They're putting on the best fights right now. They're doing all the right things, not just at heavyweight level, but every level. We're getting fights from the British promoters that the North American guys can't do. And do you feel like, you know, for example, I've heard De La Hoya say, oh yeah, well, you know, this is where we are, this and that. Do you think that Showtime, Golden Boy, and Top Rank, well, Top Rank's doing it a little bit, I guess, with Tyson Fury and whatnot, right? But I mean, Bob Arum's on board a little bit there, but do you think the rest of them need to get on board with what this XFC is throwing down?
Yes and no. I mean, they should, but they won't. They want to do it in North America. They want to have their own guys here. They want to be their own bosses. His Excellency is basically saying he doesn't even have a promotion. He's like, I'll pay you guys this. Come fight here. We'll pay you. Nobody pays better than he does. Bob, you know, Al Heyman, De La Hoya, they don't want to pay. Well, they don't, you know, if they have the money to do. They don't want to put up those big purse bids like these guys are doing. And so Queensbury, Matchroom, they go where the money is. And I don't blame them. This is a money sport. So good for Eddie Hearn. Good for Frank Warren. Good for all those guys. They sell out to the highest bidder. This is what this is about. It sucks for us because we could, so many fights we could be flying to Vegas to see. We're missing out on tons of stuff, but he's making the fights we want to see happen. How can anybody, some of these guys talk to his Excellency down? Why? Every fight that I thought of in my head, he's making it happen. He's got Fury and Usyk together. He's got Bivol and Better BF. What else do you want the guy to do?
I mean, again, you know, friend of the show, David Benavidez sent a text or publicly called it on His Excellency to, you know,
do it. Yeah.
Might happen. What's His Excellency say? No, I got a better plan. You fight the winner of Better Beef and Bivol, which I think is more of an exciting fight.
Oh, yeah. This guy's smart, man. He knows what he's doing.
So, but
he basically came into boxing. He's seen a void. These promotions don't want to work together because of egos and money and purse bids and being cheap. So, guess what? I'll make it happen. See you guys later.
Until His Excellency came onto the scene, Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn hadn't spoken, never spoke before. 14 years, head to head, never had a conversation. In the 2 years that he's been involved in the sport, he's made boxing fun again, man.
Exactly. And the Queensbury versus Matchroom is 5 fights, 3-2. There's going to be a winner. We'll see who the better promotion is. It's a little bit of a rivalry now.
Right, and that's what boxing needs, right? And I keep bringing it, and I feel that the American side, where we're most acclimated to, we see that more. Like, I mean, if you're a real boxing fan like us, yeah, we're paying attention to what's happening across the pond. But man, those guys are killing it over there right now, and I wish the American side would do that.
I know. They got the talent to do it. They're just not doing it for whatever reason. They're not getting
it done here. And I don't know why Hal Heyman has to hide so much. Why can't he just be in the spotlight a little bit? Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, I don't get it, right? It just, this is not helping the sport in any way.
No. Excellency's making some good fights, though, so good for him.
Definitely. All right, now, back to structure here. Sorry, man, I just wanted to throw that in there. I thought something. The heavyweight division, Jared Anderson. Let's get this thing started. That fight on Saturday was a snooze. I'm glad I watched UFC instead and came back to that. I mean, I watched it, 144 shots, majority of them jabs. I mean, it was just like, even he said, yeah, I had a bad fight, even though he won.
I mean, everybody's just, he's disappointed himself. Bob Arum's disappointed, Top Rank, the commentators. I get it. You put on a free fight the night UFC's on, so the hardcore boxing fans can watch that. When you put that fight on the first few rounds, you realize how boring it is. These guys are just goofing around in there. No urgency, no sense of entertainment for the fans that are paying you. So what are people going to do? Screw this fight. I'm watching UFC, which is 1,000 times better than that Jared Anderson fight was. And it's just, it's too bad because he's young. He's got the talent, but he's not putting on a good show to keep rising up to fight the better guys. When you barely beat him, but you should have dominated this guy. This is a tune-up fight for you. Yeah, and didn't go down. He hung in there, man.
Well, here's the reality. This is where my thoughts went. Like, you're trying to sell yourself, right? Like, I mean, I think this guy needs to step up in competition.
He does.
Right? Like, I mean, this is something Bob needs to do for him. And I think the best competition right now is over in Europe. There's nothing in North America heavyweight scene, you know, outside of Frank Martin, maybe, and a washed up, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, washed up Deontay.
Oh, he's washed up.
Right? Well, I'm trying to be respectful as possible, man. Yeah. I mean, that motherfucker still kicked my ass.
Yeah, but as far as the pros go, he's done.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, in North America, there's nothing there. If this is the next great hope, You need to start putting, you know how we're telling everyone to come over to America? He needs to go over to Europe and start fighting some of these heavyweights that are over there, because that's where the scene is, man. And here's the other thing I wanted to bring up on this topic of the heavyweights. If you think about it, I feel bad for Jared Anderson. Kid's 24, 25. At this rate, I don't see him or anyone else outside of four names getting a title shot in the next 3 years.
With performances like that, no. Dude, you had a free fight. Like, it was on free TV. You could have really come out there. Even if you did win a decision, at least look fun, be exciting. This is the next, you know, big baby. Come on, you need to fight Fury and Usyk. Yeah. And now that you're not even talked about, dude.
But the heavyweight division is so clogged right now in general. Yeah, we're getting some exciting fights coming up here. We got Usyk Fury, right? But then they have a rematch.
Granddaddy of them all.
Right? But then we have a rematch, which I hope doesn't happen. But, I mean, if it's a close fight, that's a different story than you
if
want
somebody
to see.
Gets beat bad, there'll be no rematch, but
right,
it could.
Right. Yeah. But there's a two-fight deal in place there, right? That's going to take up all of this year. Then you got Joshua or Hurkacz waiting in the wings for the winner of that. That's going to be early that year. So then what happens? Then whoever faces that winner, there's probably another rematch clause in there somewhere, which means that's going to take that. You know what I mean? We're basically in the heavyweight division, in my opinion, 2024, 2025, and maybe 2026 before anyone who's not named Usyk, Fury, Joshua, and I'm going to throw Hurkacz in there because he's up there right now.
Yep.
Right? And then you got Parker and you got all these other guys that are probably not going to get a sniff until 2026, maybe 2027. It's a long time to wait.
It could be a long road for Jared Anderson unless, you know, Fury finishes Usyk quick and somebody gets hurt and his next two fights have to be exciting. He's got to do better. He needs better competition to push him to.
He needs to go to Europe, or you need to bring some of those European guys over. You know, like, I would love to see him fight the guy that Joshua fought, this Swedish fellow.
Which fight?
His last fight, the one that he had in.
Oh, when he finished the guy right away?
Otto Wallin, yeah.
Yeah, Otto Wallin. Yeah, somebody like that, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, Otto's gone up against Tyson, cut him up pretty bad, okay? So he can handle
it. Yeah, he's a game fighter, yeah.
He's a game fighter. You need to start fighting an Otto Wallin. You need, you know, just to start moving up. Daniel Dubois.
I think Bob wants to bring a little by little. Let's get his name up there for him. He doesn't want to get his big star beat down before the cash cow goes away, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now I'm going to put you on the spot here. Thinking of Bob recently said that he thinks that Inoue is better than Lomachenko. Inoue could be better than Manny Pacquiao. Sorry, that's where I was going with. He said that he could probably break his records. Your thoughts on that? I know you're a huge Pacquiao guy, but hearing that from the big man himself, what do you think?
Well, the greatest boxing promoter of all time doesn't know what he's talking about. But this time, I usually agree with Bob, but this time, no. Inoue is too small. Pacquiao went at 8 weight divisions. I don't see him getting up that high. We'll see him fighting guys at 154. You know, Pacquiao is just another animal. He's bigger built, his calves, his frame.
He thinks he can match his records.
Well, hey, if he does, good for him. But I don't think so. I don't think anybody's going to do that. 8 weight divisions is almost impossible to do. But who knows? Inoue is he's super talented. But he's fighting guys in Japan. You got to come over here, dude, and become a star like Pacquiao did. Pacquiao fought anybody and everybody. Guy's 6'2". Pacquiao's 5'6". So,
Inoue's
amazing, but we'll see what he can do. Road ahead of him.
We are a boxing show, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about that Justin Gaethje, Max Holloway fight on Saturday, UFC BMF title. Max Holloway and those two dudes are true warriors, bro.
I don't know why Gaethje kept putting his head down and Holloway timed that back kick, hit him when the heel of his foot broke his nose. Once he broke his nose, every time he's getting hit, it must have been severe pain. And then I like what Holloway said at the end of the fight, 10 seconds, right here, meet me in the middle of the ring, just threw him down. And with Gaethje's nose, he touched him in the right spot and down he went. Amazing.
But like I said, Max caught him with that one shot. And that's
what I mean, put his head down the back heel, yeah.
I mean, the reality
broke, once his nose is broken, like, Gaethje had a hard
That's what I love about Max Holloway. Is very simply put, I mean, you know you're already up. You're going to win this fight 4-1, right? Most guys in that position, last 10 seconds, put their arms up and they start running around the ring.
Yeah, dancing around,
This guy's like, no, let's give him what, you know, I mean, that was amazing.
It was a great card. It was good. Amazing. Dana White, man, they know what they're doing.
100%. All right, Brother Matt, anything on this day in boxing history or this week?
This week in boxing history. I've mentioned this many times. Still one of the best books I've ever read. And I've read probably going through 13, 14 a year, like give or take, one a month kind of thing. The Sonny Liston Biography. If you guys haven't read it or listened to it audible, you are doing yourself a disservice. This guy, not only an amazing champion, he was a crazy gambler. He was doing drug debt collections for the mob. This is a serious dude doing heroin. What a story. But this week, in 1959, Sonny Liston scored a third round TKO over, I like this name, Cleveland Big Cat Williams in 1959 in Florida. It's on YouTube. It's an old fight, grainy footage. But yeah, Sonny Liston. People, listen to that book. It's amazing. Canadian history. Nothing happened this week, but I'm going to mention a guy whose book I've been trying to find for a long time. And I seen it one time at the library, and I should have took it out. I should have bought it, but you can't buy books at the library then. His name's Sean O'Sullivan. He won it, Canadian. He won a silver medal at the 1984 Olympics.
Yeah.
He went to the Canadian Hall of Fame in 2019. He has brain damage now from all the blows he took. But in 2010, he carried the Olympic torch for a little bit on the stretch in Vancouver before the brain damage really kicked in. Born in 1962, had a great amateur career. The reason why I'm bringing this up, sad part about it was all of his rings, boxing championship rings, all the rings he accumulated over time, winning them in different tournaments, amateurs. Somebody broke into his apartment, stole all of his rings. So all of his precious belongings from his boxing, a lot of it. Didn't get a silver medal, but they got a bunch of his Olympic ring. I got an Olympic ring. He had some amateur rings, some pro fight rings he got over time, and they stole all his stuff besides the silver medal. Sean O'Sullivan, you guys ever see that book, which is hard to find. It's a crazy story. Check it out.
All right, definitely. We'll look for it. Thank you for sharing all of that. All right, Brother Matt, here we go. We are 2 days away now from either an amazing night of boxing or man, I should have taken the wife out for dinner night of boxing. I'm excited. I mean, I'm always excited for these kind of things. But I think the fans are kind of, like I said, we talked about this very quickly, but the fans, I think, are speaking up a little bit now. Like, hey, why are the tickets this expensive? You know, and I the pay-per-view is way too expensive, and of course it's not going to be sold.
$70 was, that's about par. That's what UFC was, 70. So that's not too crazy.
You look at
ticket sales and Garcia shenanigans.
Right, but I mean, outside of those two fights that we talked about, and I'm no disrespect to anyone else on that undercard, it's nothing anybody wants to see unless you're a real boxing fan. You're going to watch it because we're boxing fans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way. If you're a UFC fan, you're going to watch the prelims, you're going to watch the early prelims because you're a fan. They don't always translate, but I mean, this is just a card that everyone already thinks they know who's going to win, and everybody is looking at the undercard like, well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that arena isn't filled until those two kind of come in.
Probably. It usually happens in boxing.
If it fills. Like, what they need to do in New York right now, and they're running out of time. Hopefully, maybe they already did this earlier this week. They need to drop the ticket prices to get people in. If not, today and tomorrow, they're handing out tickets to people to fill up that
ticket. Garcia does hold the record with Tank, the biggest pay-per-view in boxing the last couple of years. He's got the 1.5 million. So let's see how many people buy this pay-per-view, because Garcia is the pay-per-view king as of recent. But with all that weird stuff and faro, wacko stuff he was talking, I don't think they're even going to get 2 million on this one.
I think my biggest concern with Ryan Garcia is his mental capacity. But again, is he pulling one over everyone and just doing this to get people off their own games? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think so.
This is too crazy even for that.
No, I get it, man. But I mean, for me,
I hope he wins. I don't really care for Devin Haney. I ain't saying Ryan Garcia's a great guy either. Something about Haney and his dad is kind of running the wrong way with that Lomachenko stuff. So I hope Ryan Garcia puts that guy down.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to go the other way. I want to see him put
Garcia. But Haney will win, but I'm cheering for Ryan.
Yeah, I'm cheering for Devin Haney. Friendly wager, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
What should we do? I'm a big fan of Pepsi Zero now. I've moved on from Diet Pepsi. So we'll do
case Coke Zero case for Pepsi Zero case, 12 case. I'm taking Ryan Garcia.
All right, done. I'm taking Devin Haney. All right,
Perfect. That's it.
Let's wrap this up, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Bobby Sampson. His name is Mr. Chance Michaels.
And in the words of the great AC/DC, those that download, like, and subscribe to the podcast, we salute you.
We do salute you. And everybody, it is the weekend. The weather's getting better. So a little windy, a little chilly here and there, but hey, that means everyone's out and about doing their thing. So if that's the case, guys, drink, drug, do whatever you want, man. We don't care. Just have fun, do your thing, be responsible. Just don't drive. Protect yourself, protect your family. They want you to come home, and we want you to come back on Tuesday to hear what we have to say. So on that note, work hard, grind, do the best that you possibly can. And if someone doesn't like you, it's probably because they don't like themselves. Zamp and chance.
Good night.
Take care.